Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie Cation here. It is November or December, which means please do not donate to the Dork Forest this month. Direct donations should go to your local food bank. To do that, you would Google the words food bank and then the name of your town, and then one will show up. And then you will send them the $10 or the $100 or the gajillion dollars that you would have sent to me, Jackie Cation, to a food bank in your neighborhood. Anyway, let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He's going to sing his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, and Vilmos works on my website, JackieCation.com. The DorkForest.com has all the notes, the link to the YouTube version of the show, which is just the show is available on iTunes, and there's a player on DorkForest.com, but there's also a YouTube version of it if you can't listen to iTunes for some reason at work, but you can listen to YouTube, so knock yourself out. JackieCation.com has all the rest of it. If you want to support the show by buying Christmas gifts or Hanukkah gifts or Kwanzaa gifts, go to the merch page, knock yourself out. All the t-shirts, there's a Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts, there's Spooky Reading Girl, there is Meat Shield t-shirts. The Meat Shield t-shirts remain a charitable t-shirt that go to the ACLU, Black Lives Matter, and Southern Law Poverty Center. You can do that. There are also pins, Spooky Reading Girl and Meat Shield pins. Those are not yet available on the website because I haven't gotten it together. But email me, jackie@jackiecation.com, and we'll figure it out. There is my calendar, which is available. You can see where I'm playing stand-up comedy-wise. And I'm on the road a bunch in December this year. So feel free to come out and see me do stand-up comedy live. There are videos. You can watch me do stand-up comedy. You can see a clip of my DVD, This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, which is available streaming or as a hard copy on the merch page as well. There is the Amazon banner. If you're going to order from Amazon, you can use the Amazon banner on dorkforest.com or jackiecation.com. It's just a portal. Sends you to Amazon. You order like normal, and it supports the Dork Forest. There are premium episodes on Bandcamp. So it'd be thedorkforest.bandcamp.com, and they are probably a dozen episodes that are live. They cost me a couple of bucks to make, so I charge you a couple of bucks. There's also some free episodes and a storytelling album on that Bandcamp page. Help yourself. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Feel free to review it on iTunes if you like, or email me if you have any questions or problems, jackie@jackiecation.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room, you guys, with comedian Jen O'Donnell.
Hi.
We have re-met, and every time you've told me what you do, and I'm like, oh, that's what we did together. Because my brain is a sieve.
I was thinking, like, I kept telling you the names of things, and you're like, oh, right, I know that. Oh, right, I've done that.
Yes.
But I feel like that's a good sign, because they're all, like, they're, like, female comedy names that, like, there's just so many that you can't keep track of them. So that's
right. That's
good
a neat
thing.
That's a neat thing now that there's a lot of women comics.
Yeah.
And there's so many shows that... And so many podcasts. Now, yeah. You have a podcast called Take Down the Patriarchy.
Yes.
With Solange Castro.
Yes, I do.
Solange Castro, go back, Rangers, and listen to a very exciting episode of The Dork Forest with Solange regarding salsa.
She's still trying to get me to salsa dance with her. And I can't, like, I don't know my left and right. Like, no. That's where I start.
She taught Andy in the backyard afterward. And I was like, no, that does look fun.
Yep. All yeah, right. It does.
I'm going to be over here.
I'm jealous. I'm a little bit jealous.
I'm a little bit jealous.
Dance.
And who love to dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's good for you.
It is. I
and
know.
There's joy in it.
Yeah, right.
I have dancing dorks on, and dancing dorks have joy.
They, you know, Caitlin Moran is what, like, she's one of my favorite, like, as a comic and as an author, she has a few books that I really love, but one, she talks about how she was like, in my 20s, I was like, I have to learn how to surf, or I have to learn how to skateboard, like all of these things. Yeah. And she was like, but what I really realized I love is that I just like to read books and eat bread with cream cheese on it. And I was like, I felt really, I was like, okay, this is okay. Because this is me.
There is a future for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I was like, this is hopeful.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with any of that. Jen O'Donnell does stand-up comedy. You're going to want to follow her on Jen Odd.
Yes.
J-E-N-O-D-D. on Twitter, and Jed Odd and the number one on Instagram. Because it had to happen. Your name's Jen O'Donnell.
It is.
And then it's JenOdonnellComedy.com.
Yes.
For like you're gonna do a web series.
Yeah. So I do. I just started doing a web series called The Internet According to Jen.
Oh,
where
nice.
I interview people. My first episode is up right now, where I talk to a woman who started her own country.
Interesting.
A micronation. She's a feminist micronation. It's
my
really,
friend
really
TJ,
interesting.
Who I just went to Vietnam, wants a micronation. She's like, I want a flag and everything.
Oh, she should. Like, I just got, so she just sent me my passport because I'm now the minister of media of the micronation. I wish I brought it. It's like, it's really fun. But I talked to all kinds of cool people. So I've got a bunch of stuff in the can and I'm releasing that all through. It's called The Internet According to Jen and it's on JenOdonnellComedy.com.
There you go. And then you do a stand up show monthly that
yes.
I've done.
Yes.
And it is called The Ladies Room.
Yes.
Ladies Room at Three Clubs.
It's super great. It's all female lineup.
Yep.
And we've actually got our 2-year anniversary coming up where our all female lineup of comics are all comics who also run shows with all female lineups.
Right.
It's Women Who Book Women show.
Exactly. And if you are out there, gentlemen, thinking to yourself, well, there's no men, those are the rest of the shows.
That's the rest of the shows.
You're good. You're good.
And also, invited to the ladies' room because you need to hear things that we have to say.
Right. You come to the shows for sure, and you should. But
yes.
it's always like, yeah, you're already doing it. It's the reason that it's a freak show and
yep.
that we have these things is because there aren't enough.
Yes.
So that's why that's why you're surprised that there are enough women comics who run their own shows of all women comics.
We're just trying
that you're going
to
have
even
two
out
of
the
them.
Scales. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's
so
all we're doing. And there's
a
lot of work to do.
Right.
So.
Right. And we're plugging along. And Rangers
well, you're
are
leading,
on our side.
You are leading, in my opinion.
Well,
I listen to Jackie and Lori. You guys are out there with machetes and getting cut up so that we can follow. Truly.
Follow us!
Yeah. We're still like, ugh, should we? It's scary out there.
Oh, it is scary out there. It's right. It's, well, the good thing about being the Ute is that you're invincible. And so you just...
I hope so.
Right. But here, your dorkdom made me laugh so hard. For it is reading, and it is books.
Yes,
and so
yes.
Everyone just perked up.
Yeah.
But
people love hearing about books.
They really do. And it's one of the Rangers' favorite
it is,
kind
okay,
of topics.
That's good, though. That's good to hear. Because I always compare it to when I talk about how much I read and how much I like reading. To me, it's like when people tell me how much they love going to the gym. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, great.
Or watching
like,
sports
you're making me feel
or
like a piece
a different-
of shit. Or, so, yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. Some people get it in their heads.
They get
it like, oh,
like,
I don't
oh
read.
You're better than me. Got
right.
it.
Have you ever belittled your own reading just to make them feel better?
Yeah, all the time.
Constantly going, oh, no, I'm not reading the Great American Novel.
Yeah, no,
I'm
no.
just reading.
And it doesn't even matter, too. Like, I'll throw in a Great American Novel, but I'm just
right,
learning to
not...
become just as proud of the other things, which is why I want to talk about sad books.
Sad books, you guys. Tearjerker books.
Some people call it sick lit.
It's got a name.
Yeah, it's got a name. And what's interesting about it is that it really isn't the only genre I read. Like, I love sad books in general. I love sick lit as a genre.
Wait, are people ill?
People in sick lit, people are ill. Somebody's gonna die.
This is fiction. Someone has gone to the trouble to write compelling
yes.
narratives about people with terminal illness.
And
I think I've heard of
there's
this.
It's really big in YA, in young adult.
Oh, because all those morbid youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, the morbid teens
but,
are like.
So I would, but like, there's an interesting thing. So I went to the library because I wanted to pick up some current YA
okay.
sicklet versus the sicklet I grew up with.
Okay.
So the first person I need to start off with at the top is Lurleen McDaniel.
Lurleen. She's nailed it. Her parents.
Lurleen McDaniel has written, I think, 70 titles.
Did she start this?
You know,
or is
you,
she the
you
first
could
big
say,
name?
You could say she started it. I'm not sure. Like most, a lot of people will say like John Green is a sicklet guy, but like Lurleen McDaniel was writing books about teenagers dying way before.
Well, what about? Like, what about A Catcher in the Rye and A Separate Piece?
So,
and-
yeah, Separate Piece I almost actually brought with me because there are...
I just tried to reread that and it murdered me.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I didn't like it in junior high. This is not my literature. I am going to be as supportive as I can because safe space, man.
Yes, totally.
This is it.
Yep.
But sick lit is not my...
Yeah.
So especially if you're reading this when you're 14. And okay, I'm going to let you talk about it because all I've heard have been sort of weird, quippy, stand-up-y things.
Yeah, it's quite sad.
Okay.
I mean, the idea, so I was reading these books by Lurleen McDaniel. I was obsessed with them. Like, my sixth grade teacher, like, brought my mom in for a special conference. And she was like, yeah, like, Jen reads a lot.
That's great.
I mean, is she... One, she thought I was lying about how much I was reading, but I was. The truth is I was.
Right.
I was lying and saying I was reading less than I was because I didn't want the kids to think I was weird.
Right.
But even that amount was too many.
Wait, that's exactly what I did in grade school and junior high?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, in junior high, I was reading this book. And there were kids who were having lives during class as well. They were joshing around.
Yep.
Joshing around Jen O'Donnell. And what am I, Andy Kindler? And so, but the one of the other kids in class said, Jackie's been reading this whole time. And the teacher said, yeah, but if I ask her the question, she knows the answer.
Yep. So, and it's quiet. For it, right?
The teachers did not mind
the kids.
Me. Oh, the kids did not enjoy
me. Nobody wants,
Yeah, nobody wants
They're like, Jackie's reading, but they're joshing around.
Right.
You know the answer.
And I know the answer because it's not that hard.
One time my boyfriend, I'm sorry, he's now my fiance. I can't. It's new. It's fresh. He'll get offended if I don't correct it.
Congratulations. Thank you. Good luck.
He came home once and I was trying to finish Ready Player One because the movie was coming out.
Yeah.
So I had it in my, I was listening to it at double speed because I wanted to finish it.
Audible.
Well, actually I use Overdrive because it's free.
Okay.
So Overdrive is an app through the public library. So you can get books for free like Audible, but the only thing is then you have to kind of wait for things, which is like, it's good and bad.
Wait a minute. I thought that the Audible books from the library were from Audible. They are not?
They're
from
know.
Overdrive. Who read it? Did Will Wheaton read it?
You know, I don't think it. Well, I should know this, but I don't.
Okay,
I would assume that it, usually when you get the, I mean, they are like usually by the author.
Yeah.
So I don't. You know, I think it was anyway.
Well, I think Ernie Cline wrote Ready Player
One. Oh, that's who it was. Yeah.
And I don't know.
I like how you call it because it's Ernest Cline, right? But you call him Ernie.
He's been on the Dork Forest.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, his dorkdom was being Ernie
the
Cline.
Same microphone as me.
No, these are new.
This is the special.
This is a brand new setup. Sadly,
cool.
Yeah, we're setups late, but I got to see his DeLorean. He bought one of those DeLoreans and he put a flux capacitor.
He must be a really interesting guy.
He's a nerd.
Yeah,
is what he is.
Yeah.
He's a dork and a nerd. And
see,
a delight.
I was going to say I'm more of a. I think I don't know. I'm more of a dork. Than a nerd or a geek, I think. I don't know.
I use them interchangeably.
You do?
It's called Dork Forest because of alliteration.
Oh, right. It makes sense. So it's almost like it's all-encompassing in a way.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's essentially, were you pushed around? Were you mocked?
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome. We're going to talk about whatever that is. But I'm cutting into your
sad
time.
I'm sorry. Yes. Because real quick, I'm listening to Ready Player One on double speed, and I'm reading a book at the same time when my fiancé comes in. And he was like, this isn't even possible, and you need to stop. Okay. So, Cichlid. So Lurleen McDaniel was the one I was obsessed with.
What
her
has
books.
She written?
Okay, these are just a few titles I grabbed. Mother, Please Don't Die. She Died Too Young. Why Did She Have to Die? Don't Die, My Love.
What?
They all died.
They all died.
Well, there was one called Someone Dies, Someone Lives.
When did she write these books?
So all through it's kind of 90s, maybe or even late 80s too. She had written, when I was reading them, they were coming out. So this was the 90s. And that's the thing. So every time we'd have like a Scholastic book fair, my reading teacher would be like, there's new Lurleen McDaniels in. I got them brought in just for you. So I would like, I would just eat them up. And there's 70 of them. Like she's written, and she hasn't stopped either.
Wow. People are still dying, you guys.
They're still dying.
Okay. So talk to me about what makes you love the Lurleen McDaniel.
I just reread one because honestly, like I generally read now contemporary fiction and I tend to like the sad ones.
Right.
Light Between Oceans, something where I'm going to really get a good cry in. And I reread.
Yeah, Maria Bamford wanted to know, is she not crying about real things? And I was like, that's not the point. The point is to get the cry out.
It's to get the cry out, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's something about reading about death that makes you feel alive. You know, like.
Have you read Laurie Kilmartin's book?
No, you know what? I'm kind of saving it for when I need it. You know? Like,
it'll be a good reread
I've
when you read it.
I've experienced a lot of sickness in my life and not a ton of death. And
actual
so
death.
when I read the blurb and I know, you know, what it's about, I'm like, this is going to come in handy during a really hard time, I bet.
Okay.
So I'm kind of saving it. Which
fair enough.
Sounds really
sick. It does sound
sick.
Really sick. But that's fine. Lurleen.
So, yeah, what was I just going to say? So, I reread it.
Yeah.
Because I downloaded it on my Kindle because I have my iPad where I read books. I have my Kindle where I read books. And then I have Overdrive on my phone. And then I have my public library books that I get.
Right.
Yeah, sure. So,
sure.
And then I brought pictures of my bookshelf at home so I could show you like how it works, you know?
Yeah.
Top shelf where, you know, that's where they say mama keeps the cookies, you know, like good stuff. So... I'm like, don't touch this one I brought right here. This one is a top shelf book because this is the one from my youth that, like, when I read it, I was like, someday I will write a sad book. It was this book.
It was this book?
Yeah, this exact book.
And this copy.
And this exact copy. When I found it in my, like,
old stuff.
This is
a novel by Barbara Park.
Yes. Who she wrote like the Bailey School Children. She's a really familiar author. A lot of the stuff she has written isn't really as dark as this one was.
When her brother Mick is killed, Phoebe Hart's world is suddenly turned upside down because she's a child. How could someone like Mick die? Mick was one of the neatest kids you'd ever want to meet. He was the kind of kid who freaked his mom out by putting a ceramic eye on a defrosted chicken.
What a joker.
A joker. And who would ever forget the wild dance solo he performed in front of the whole school because the music got in his pants. Mick was the kind of kid everyone liked. The kind of kid who, if he'd only worn his bicycle helmet, would still be alive today. If only.
There he is, writing in
there
the clouds.
Is.
Can you see right there?
I
there
did not see Mick writing in the clouds.
This is what it is. This is what I think attracted me to this kind of writing, is like, she starts this out with like, just let me say right off the bat, it was a bike accident. And she's like, I thought, you know, I didn't want to make you cry. It's not a tragic story, but he's dead.
Oh, God.
And I just felt like it was so, like, for an adult to be so honest about... death and about the reality of life, and to talk to kids like that,
right,
felt really refreshing.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And so when I opened up the Lurleen McDaniel one, I read it, there's one of the series is called the Dawn Rochelle series.
Yes.
Dawn Rochelle has leukemia. And in the first, I reread the first book.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just out of curiosity, I wonder if like it still does it for me, right? And so I this weekend like opened it up on the couch, and it's, you know, 150 pages.
Right.
So within 45 minutes, I'm sitting across from my fiance, and he was like, oh my God, I was in tears. Like, I was like, she still got it.
Because what if it's a reread?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a reread, and it's for 13-year-olds, and
right.
I'm 32,
right.
I think,
right.
31.
Yeah.
And so... when I was reading it, the thing that I was reminded of was how refreshing it was when, you know, like the girl finds out that she's sick. They talk about what leukemia is. They talk about what the treatment is. They talk about the other kids who are sick. And then she goes back to class.
Yeah.
Where nobody understands. And she still has a crush on this guy. And she still doesn't fit in. Yeah. And so there's something that was like cathartic in a way about escaping to a world where this problem is so much worse than you'll ever have to deal with.
Right.
Or like that you'll read this book and you're like, well, now I'm invincible. Like,
right.
Like this is real. And so I read this actually about cyclic because it's controversial. Like people are like, why would you? And a lot of these that I found in the library today are about suicide, which was not the case when I was reading cyclic as a teenager. And so obviously kids are wanting to read these things because kids are honestly really dealing with this now.
Well, you know, this reminds me of, did you see the Mr. Rogers documentary?
Yeah.
What the scene that blew me away, and I saw it on the back of a chair.
Oh, I think I know exactly what you're about to say.
Okay. Which one?
I think it's when the kid loses his like little thing in the washing machine.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah. It's exactly this. That's cyclic to me. Is when he raises his hand and he's like, but this, his little toy that like lost his limbs.
Lion.
He asked this question to Fred Rogers and is like, but will that happen to us? Or he didn't even ask that. Fred knew that's what he was asking.
It was a test. Because the topper comes up to him and says, the ear fell off my lion in the wash. Yep. And Fred fucking Rogers said to him, isn't that weird how that sometimes our toys will do that in the wash? But how interesting is it that that doesn't happen to us?
Yeah.
And the kid's eyes got huge, and he's like, my arm doesn't, and he runs through all the parts of his body that he knows of.
And then that group of kids let Fred into the circle. Like, it was like, this guy isn't going to lie to us.
Yeah.
They're like, this guy is just going to talk to us like people, and you know, maybe there are some kids who you can't talk to like people. I don't know.
There are some adults you can't talk to like people. But good for Fred Rogers.
Yeah,
and good for, you know what? That actually, because I have always, I've not been against it, but it's clearly wasn't written for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's not, and I've already dealt with my suicide and death issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But kids haven't, so
Kids haven't, yeah. So the thing I read, because it's controversial, I read an article that said that basically with Sicklet, what it afforded a lot of people is the training wheels of dealing with real life. Because they compared it, this isn't my real comparison, but they compared it to like going from Narnia to Stephen King. Because that's really, for a long time, that's what you would have to do. Like there was books for kids, and then there was that dealt with the real, you know, that dealt with bigger worlds. And then Stephen King was where you would jump to. So it was almost like training wheels in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
What this is, like, it's like, these are things that can happen.
Right.
This is how they're dealt with. And
right. And the thing is about fiction, I think traditionally, for me anyway, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the English degree to back it up. But is that it does make you get to live choices. It's fictionally, you get to go through other people's lives and you're like, well, what? I wonder what I would do. Would I be like the hero or would I be like the coward?
Right.
And how did the coward deal with it in the end?
Yeah, you're troubleshooting your life.
Yeah.
And that's what I got, I think. That's what stories maybe are for. Yeah, I think so, exactly.
Huh.
It was such a blip, but when I was about like 11 or 12, they had found a tumor on my head. And like, I knew what they were talking about, but like, I was a kid to them, you know?
Right, right.
So when I saw like the words oncology at the hospital, or like when I saw, and I knew like, you know, it was a very quick little blip, but it was so, I think it was like one of those moments, and everything was fine. They did it, you know.
You lived?
Yeah. Okay. Here I am. But I think it was one of those things where you, as a kid, I don't know. I think there are a lot of kids out there that people don't talk to and really bring in to tell them what's going on. And I have nieces. I'm from Buffalo originally. And
New York?
Yes. Excellent. Buffalo, New York. All my family's back there.
Mm-hmm.
My nieces are, you know, now young adults.
Yep.
So it's, I don't know. It's really important to me, I think, to talk to kids. You know, I send them books all the time.
Yeah. You know, and I've told this story before. I used to send, I used to read everything that my nieces and nephews were reading so that we'd have something to talk about besides a TV show I didn't want to watch.
Yeah. Yep.
And,
smart.
And so I ended up reading a fair amount. I read the Dragonlance series.
Okay. I'm not familiar.
Which is, well, it's essentially, it's just, sword and sorcery. It's a D&D.
Okay.
And so it's sword and sorcery adventure stuff. The first nine are written by a couple.
Nine?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And, right. And the following 10 are written by just other, they were like, we're done. And the publishers were like, we're not. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder that, like, like, I wonder if you really get pigeonholed, is what I imagine. Like, is Lurleen McDaniel in her basement right now just like,
I can't kill any more kids. I can't kill any more people.
Yeah, but there's plenty more if you still want to kill kids, is the thing.
Right. Now,
this one is not supposed to be in here. This is just a book I got from the library. Actually, there's two like that.
So these are the new ones.
So these are the new ones. There's a lot of that. Like, If I Stay, so I pulled this one, If I Stay, and The Fault in Our Stars, because they made movies out of both of those. These are pretty, like, young adult at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, they really, what I think
have
is really interesting.
Have you read them or seen the movies?
Yes, movies and read for both. So something that I thought there's an interesting, in some ways, in the world of romance, because I think that the things that women are interested in reading and that the things women are voraciously reading just like don't get a fair shake because they're women's interest. And but the truth is that what they are is contemporary fiction
yep.
that tons of people are reading, that mm-hmm. tons of people are trying to get their hands on, but they're just considered these kind of like niche.
They're lesser.
They're lesser. Yeah. They're,
for all women's literature has been considered yeah. lesser yes. forever.
Forever.
And it's, in some ways, to quote, I can't remember if it's Merry or Pippin from The Lord of the Rings. Sometimes it's nice. It's good to be overlooked because in some ways the literature could develop. I mean, there's for years, and we've had this conversation with other guests where the legitimizing of different genres, right? There's the legitimizing of science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It is now legitimate, considered a classical, you know, yeah. something that is real.
Right.
And the same with, to some extent, to mysteries and thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also considered a little bubblegummy.
Yeah.
Right?
It
and
is.
And popcorn stuff like Jack Reacher and sort of mercenary cop
right.
vigilante.
But I think like that idea of it being bubblegummy. Like I think of science fiction, I just read that like paleontology is experiencing like a golden age because of how many people who came of age during Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's like, okay, so you have this like science fiction story that inspired real world things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in these quote unquote bubblegummy things where people are troubleshooting, like emotional and mental health.
Yeah.
Like that are considered women's interest in bubblegum. Like, I'm like, if everybody was as interested and aware of this,
yep.
it would solve a lot of problems.
Right. Like I had Al Madrigal on. He was talking about the Jack Reacher novels. And he said it was a great way for him to deal with his anger issues.
Oh, interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
I also have an unsubstantiated belief that all guys who are huge fans of the Hulk are dealing with anger issues.
I mean,
because they're
it's
always
too easy.
Mad.
Yeah, because, yeah.
They're always mad. And when they aren't mad, then they're Bruce Banner. And when they are mad, they're the Hulk.
Yeah.
And they feel out of control. And you're like, well, you got to read something besides the Hulk.
I was
then.
Like, I feel like we need to like organize like a big book exchange.
Right.
Everybody,
there is
yeah.
one.
They do one?
Yeah. Todd Mason's already doing that.
Okay. No, great. No, I love that.
Yeah. It's great.
I'm busy. So it's, I just like, I can't, no,
and
I can't buy the domain.
And well, and Goodreads helps too, actually.
It
that,
does,
that
yeah.
app is actually.
I just, so what we were talking about earlier where I have, so here, you'll love this. So I have kept a list since, honestly, this was since like a really bad breakup was when I started it. This is a list that I've kept on a Word doc of every book I've read since 2014. And I highlight the ones that I extra love.
Right? Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That you genuinely enjoy.
That I genuinely enjoy. So when I was at, you know what, and I think this is when we actually met for the first time, Emily Heller's Retirement Party for Men.
Yeah.
Andy Erickson, who's a comic,
yeah.
told me. I had no idea what Goodreads
was. She was on. She
was.
Talked about unicorns.
Oh, I love it.
Why wouldn't she?
She would. Exactly.
Yeah.
Love her. She told me about Goodreads, and she was like, yeah. And then you go out and you write all the books you're reading. And I, like, there was a, like, my whole soul, like, immediately was, like, terrified. I was like, people could see everything
exactly.
I'm reading.
Yes. This is exactly what I'm going through.
Yeah.
Because I love Goodreads,
yeah.
but I don't put most of the romance novels that I read
yeah,
in it,
because,
which isn't fair to the writers.
No, it's. I was just thinking that. I wasn't going to put that I had read Lurleen McDaniel's book because I was
right.
like, ah, that's embarrassing. But you know what? That's exactly what I should be doing.
Right, because everyone needs to know they're not alone.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's weird. You know, I do this joke and it's on the album and I feel bad about it because I reference historical romance novels as poorly written and poorly researched when the correct words I should have used were quickly written
yes.
and quickly researched
because of the audience demand
right like, there's yeah. you got to write I was
they
reading
want them fast.
Nonfiction
yeah.
those people have to write four a year
they did it's
and they're all 300 pages
yeah.
right
yeah.
and I have been trying to write this romance novel
yeah.
And, I just knocked the microphone.
My book, it was on my book list, so it
your
was technically my fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, but it's such a, I mean, it, nothing is easy, right?
Yeah.
And even if you're writing, especially if you're trying to speak to children about suicide.
A toughie.
You really set the bar for yourself.
You do.
You're like, I just want to talk about, you're like, well, why would you introduce Mick, who's clearly a likable kid, and then you kill him because he didn't wear a bike helmet?
You know what else is important about that? Before I forget, you're right. It's hard to fit this all in 1 hour.
Yeah.
In this book, she does a speech to her school at the end.
Yeah.
They ask her to. And she basically writes this really, really funny little speech where she's like, this is this little bow tie that Mick got for his birthday. He said it made him look like a dork. This is this thing that his mom got, or that our mom got us for Christmas. He said it made it look like a dork, him look like a dork. Then she pulls out his helmet, still in the box. The whole audience knows he's dead. Everybody gasps.
Oh my God, I just got goosebumps.
I know, right? And she's like, this is his bike helmet. He said it made him look like a dork. And I was like, it just like blew. It was like, I don't think I felt like that again until I watched Nanette. I was like, I have been through on a ride.
That is a, I mean, everyone, I don't know what, like here, I grabbed a romance novel that I just read. And
this is one that I would read for Christmas time because I just picked out this one for myself because I like to pick out some holiday reading.
You like to pick up a little holiday?
Mr. Dickens and his Carol.
And his Carol. Yeah. So this is not a Christmas Carol, which I read for the first time like 4 or 5 years
ago.
I'm
listening to the audiobook right now.
Nice.
Because I thought, you know, let's redo it for the season. But honestly, the audiobook's like, I regret not just reading it because there would be words in there that I'd be like, oh, let me look that up because I don't understand, where we've actually heard A Christmas Carol a lot.
Right, so, right. Yeah, not an issue.
So I picked this up because I thought it might be fun. But
This is a charming comic, ultimately poignant story about the creation of the most famous Christmas tale ever written. I read it in a couple of ubulent, E-B-U-L-L-I-E-N-T. I've seen it written.
What a blurb word. A
gajillion words. Good job, Anthony Doerr.
Oh,
Christmassy
he wrote,
gulps. What did he write? All the light
we cannot see. Yeah, yeah. I read that one. I liked it. Yeah.
You really will read. I mean, the thing is I'll read almost anything, but you, I think, will read almost anything.
Oh, I really will.
Yeah. It's
so
pretty amazing.
And even, okay, so this book, this is actually
novellas. I don't actually like short stories or novellas very much.
Okay.
A lot of people, this used to be something I used to say.
Yeah.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who read novels, people who read short stories. People who read fiction, people who read nonfiction. But now I'm trying to be all of those people.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to read nonfiction.
Yep.
I want to read what is considered to be sort of the classics and well-written literature.
Do you know what one genre I love, I think, more than anything is essay collections?
Oh.
They are, I mean,
like Sedaris and...
Like Sedaris was what first got me into the essay collection. Sloane Crossley's a female writer who's almost like Sedaris feeling, who there's one that she wrote called like, I Was Told There Would Be Cake. And it's on my top shelf. It's like a book that really inspired me. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And I've written, like, I, you know, spent a couple months once just writing compiling essays that I'd written. Like, it's a dream in a way, you know.
Right, to be one of those people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've thought about it, too, because a lot of stand-up comics, their memoirs are those things,
right? There's a ton.
Like, I read How to Be Black by Baratunde Thurston.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some really good ones that I've
Did you read Kamau's new one?
No, I haven't.
Kamau's is essentially, it's sort of it's autobiographical. Yep. That's what those essays can be, right?
Yeah, that's what I love about them.
Debbie Kamau Bell's actually is him learning... just sort of how to be, you know, what being him is like, which is what I think all of these things are.
Yeah.
And I like Sedaris, but I love Sarah Vowell. You doing Sarah Vowell?
Which one would I grab?
I would recommend Assassination Vacation to start out with.
I don't think I've read that.
And The Wordy Shipmates, they're best as audibles.
Okay.
In Overdrive.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Okay. So here we are. Mary Ballow, B-A-L-O-U-O-G-H, B-A-L-O-G-H. Now, she has written probably, it's got to be 60 books, and they're all historical romance novels, but they're not necessarily historically accurate. So it's a certain genre in the romance industry that I don't know, because that's what the book I'm writing is going to be in that genre.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, because it's... I've accidentally written myself out of a job, by the way, because I can't do the audible because I can't do accents. But Maria might do the...
That's fun.
Yeah, which would be funny.
Yeah.
And then she said she'd do it, but they haven't contacted
her. Yeah.
So Mary Ballow always has, and this fits into the sad lit or the sick lit, because every single time somebody's either got a limp or they're recovering from the war.
Polio or something.
Right. Their little brother has Down syndrome. Some other sort of mental illness, but they're made of love. They're made of love. Or they're super short, or they're super tall.
Yeah. Or there's some physical trait.
Yeah, there's
often
ailment. An ailment or a physical problem.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Like Beauty and the Beast, like one guy got a thing blew up in his face. And then other people look like angels, but they're wounded. Their souls are wounded.
Oh, their souls are wounded.
What they need is a lady or a man, depending on.
Sure.
It's almost I don't know. I think it's entirely heterosexual, her romance novels. But she has the person lure them to their hand like a baby bird with seeds upon their palm.
Which was in movie Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast is one of my favorite Disney movies because of the book stuff.
Right.
I skip to the part where he gives her the library every time. That's all I care about.
I like the first song and then the library song.
Yeah.
I'm good. Yep. I'm in.
So I worked in reality and still work in reality TV development. I did a project with romance authors.
Okay.
And it's like when I had learned about the world, it really blew my mind. And the women that I talked to and the things that they were telling me about this stuff that they were writing, they really took me through the process of like around 2010, 2011 is really when like 50 Shades of Grey had first come out. And all of these women were in their basement, like churning out these books, right? And then sending them to publishers, and they would be like, there's no audience for this. And then at the same time, it was like lightning struck because you could put up your self-published book on Amazon.
Yeah.
And these women went from being like an X-ray technician to having $10 million in their bank account in a month.
Right.
And then the publishers were banging down their door because they were like,
oh, we're sorry.
Hey, come back. Please come back. And then from there, what I think is so interesting about that world is that there – and I don't know if things have changed so much, but like I love the idea that anybody who believes there's an audience for the things they want to read can find that audience.
Right.
Like there is nothing makes me sleep tight at night like that idea.
Well, it is – essentially, it is the definition of podcasting.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like and I've said it before, comic books and granted, publishers and the muckety mucks and the gatekeepers are finding our parts of the forest and trying to figure out a way to build gates around it.
Yeah, they try to see if there is a broad or a general audience for those parts of the forest. And sometimes there are.
Sometimes there are, and sometimes they're like, well, come to us and we'll do it like we've done it for the last 400 years and you'll make even more money. And you do and you don't make the money.
Right.
And so then you try to go back. There's something happening in Amazon self-publishing where I read a very powerful article about how to game the system.
Yeah.
And there's drama and there's all these things.
That's why it's so – to me it was so interesting because really the women who are selling those books are really selling their brand and them as authors and sort of access into their lives.
Oh,
and
interesting.
So, you know, when Facebook went from being just chronological to popular posts getting to the top – those women recognized that they could post or say something controversial or vulnerable or interesting or, you know, behind the scene pretend to like pick fights with each other. Basically,
Wrestling.
Yeah, it was like wrestling, but it was about
romance novels or whatever they're paranormal.
Yeah, paranormal romance. When I read about that, I was like, whoa, this is. Once I knew that was a thing,
that's
I was like,
thing.
There's so much more. And was.
And there is.
Yeah.
But it is interesting because Mary Ballow, I don't know if she herself is bipolar or has some issues.
I wonder.
But she's incredibly empathetic.
Yep.
And it doesn't, you know, the good thing about a romance novel is it always ends good.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true with the sick?
No.
Is there resolution?
Because I was thinking
anything?
About that. Like when you read a romance novel, it's just like the will they, won't they, and you secretly know the whole time that they will, and you just are there for it. And it's a happy ending, and you can like put it away. And when you read sick lit, it's like, will she, won't she die? And I think when you put that book away, and she did, but then you get to go into a bright, sunny day.
Yeah.
Like, cheerful. It sort of puts you in a, like, there's a different perspective.
Is
you
it
get.
Sometimes, is it first person? I have leukemia.
Sometimes. Some are written like that.
My sister has cancer.
Yeah. There was one that I was like, when I was like, oh, yeah, we're getting this one. Like, some of them are so dark that I was like, is this a freaking guidebook?
You know?
Like, when her best friend, Meg, drinks a bottle of industrial strength cleaner alone in a motel room,
what?
Cody is understandably shocked and devastated. I read that and I'm like, didn't know you could drink cleaner and die. I mean, I did know, but if I was 13, I'm like, what is this? Like, would I give my niece this?
Right. Because you're like, because there's times when we all want to die.
Yeah.
Which
I know is like a real Tipper Gore kind of answer to have, right? That I'm like, these kids are going to read this and they're going to do it. Like, and I know.
But have you ever tried to choke down cleaning solvent? I mean, that's the other thing is I mean, you can say that's how you can do it easy. Because a lot of us don't have access to. Too many of us have access to guns, but the people don't. It's hard to think of a. That's one of the things they ask you in suicide. If you go in under suicide watch, I haven't done it. Nobody's ever caught me in a suicidal mode.
Yeah,
doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Right,
just hasn't come to this. But the first thing they ask is, do you have a plan?
Mm-hmm.
And that plan sounds dumb. That plan sounds like it's going to taste horrible and you're not going to be able to finish it. You're going to get sick before you die.
And this girl's dealing with the repercussions of a friend doing it, right? And then this one is, this one is literally called, by the time you read this, I'll already be dead.
Wait a minute. Oh my God. The cover of this book, by the time you read this, I'll be dead, by Julie Ann Peters, is doing a thing that in my fiction, who was my teacher? It wasn't Anne Lamott. It was literally like my fiction writing teacher in college at the University of Wisconsin in 1985 or 6 who is a famous novelist now.
Yeah, I know that. I know her.
But right, Anne Lamott's huge.
Yeah.
But she's like that.
Okay.
But I can't remember.
Okay.
Because I can't remember anything. By the way, I'm sitting with Jen O'Donnell.
Intro.
By the way, Jen O'Donnell, just so you know.
My ad. I'm about to do an ad. This is an ad for a women's online clothing store called ModCloth, ModCloth. And here's my favorite thing about them, vintage inspired. They have an in-house set of designers. They have a lot of signature styles, including hand-drawn prints. Get this, an inclusive size range that celebrates all women. I am an all women that is usually not celebrated. So, my body doesn't work where I can just buy anything and I'll look great. I loved modcloth.com. I picked up a pair of shoes. They're dress shoes. They were super cute. They're in navy. They're called Chelsea Crew Just Genius. But they have European sizing, so I did the conversion online. And they have everything from winter to spring. They even have swimwear. So they believe, and I think this is awesome, ModCloth believes fashion should celebrate all women. That's why they offer a full range of sizes, from extra, extra small to 4X. Got a question about the fit? You can email their stylists, and they'll hook you up with a complimentary sizing and styling help. So to get 15% off your purchase, go to modcloth.com and enter code DORK at checkout. They even have accessories and gifts. It's a one-time use. Anything over $100, you get 15% off the whole order with code DORK. I, myself, picked up a cute top and a pair of shoes. All right, let's get back into the show.
I have this to say about by the time you read this, I'll be dead. The way it fades to the bottom.
I mean, brilliant.
In 1985, my fiction writer said, please, no suicide notes because I get sad for you. And I get worried about you, and I'm reading this on a Friday night.
Right.
So, and other than that, do not fade off with your writing where it just trails off because you've killed yourself. It's the ellipses of a line.
This is the graphic embodiment, literally, of that. I mean,
exactly.
My boyfriend who does graphics would look at this and be like, oh, that's clever, you know? But
nope.
But I mean,
don't do it.
Dark,
super dark. By the time you read this, I'm dead. Yeah, that's a lot.
I have a thing that's a little less dark.
Okay,
but it's still about cichlid though. So okay, this is like so niche and stupid. I think you'll appreciate it. Maybe like 8 years ago, some guy I follow on Twitter. I don't even, his name is Kerry O'Donnell. There's no relation to me.
Oh, interesting.
He's very funny, and I don't even know what his Twitter handle is. I just remember that his name is the same as mine. Yes. As mine. So he had this tweet, and it just like killed me. And a friend of mine, I sent it to her, and it just said, I just sort of fell into Jodi Picoult. Like, there's something that's so amusing about that to me. So we've just like been texting each other this like tweet for a very long time, right?
Like, who's Jodi Picoult?
Okay, so Jodi Picoult is an author who's written hundreds and hundreds of books. She, like the best, the one you, My Sister's Keeper is okay. Probably, that was one that was made into a film.
Okay.
But Jodi Picoult is really like your, who's like a grocery store novelist?
Jude Devereaux.
Yeah, like whatever, the gold embossed like letters.
Nora Roberts. There you go.
She's sort of like almost like a Nora Roberts type, okay. Jodi Picoult is. And so.
How do you spell her last name?
P-I-C-C-O-U-L-T.
I'll see it now, I'm sure.
Oh, you're about to. So I, so my friend and I text each other. I just sort of fell into Jodi Picoult all the time. So 1 year for her birthday, and I still send these. Also, she's not going to listen to this podcast because I'm not going to tell her to.
Right.
She doesn't know that I'm the one sending her these, but she does.
Oh, she's got to know.
So I made a fake email address called the Picoult Cult, and I have a, and I write a fake newsletter that I send to her every once in a while,
yeah,
from Jodi Picoult, but it's not I mean, like, this is just like some of her titles, you okay. know what I mean? And so these are, I brought some of my newsletters because I know that she won't hear me say
right.
that I'm sending the Picoult Cult. One time I signed her up for her birthday. Happy birthday. Congratulations. You're now in Cult Classics. I just like keep making.
You keep making up more.
Yeah.
And more.
Or like whenever she's sad or something, I'll just like randomly send one. She knows it's me, you know?
Right.
Cult Following, Cult Classics.
I have a friend.
Sometimes Jodi Trivia I'll send on. Jodi.
I have a friend who will Venmo somebody.
Oh, I love that.
10 cents.
Oh, that's.
And then write on it, use the $7,000 to get out of jail. Or, like, literally, we'll troll them.
Yeah, yep, and publicly.
In public.
Yep.
Oh, public it. Just for fun.
It's a great joke platform, Venmo. People don't take advantage of it like they should.
Right. Venmo is actually more fun to read than Facebook.
Oh, I love reading Venmo. And my fiance will, like, we don't put anything publicly
right.
ever. And because I'm like, this is really like, do people realize how much people look at this, or are we the only people who are looking at it? Is that
like- no, you're not the only one looking at it.
I love it.
I think it's
That's
great.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, I send my Picoult newsletter if you would like to sign up for it.
kind of. What is her? So what does she write? The Jodi Picoult.
She, I mean, cichlid is one. Like she's.
Is she,
I mean, she's
handle with care.
Yeah, she's like. There's romance for sure. There's a lot of. It's kind of just contemporary fiction. It's not one that I like. She isn't somebody who I.
It does. This
and I don't
thing.
Want to sound like a snob, but like I'll read some of her books, but I'm not like. I'm
no,
not
you're not
going to
read
up.
All of them.
Yeah, I'm not going to read all of them.
Well, and that's the thing is there's books. I just tried to read. My mother-in-law was getting a lot of free books at the cancer center.
Oh.
Speaking of cichlid.
Yeah.
And they were just in baskets. And so she started reading a bunch of new authors, including like Goonie Bird, like weird Janet Ivanovich, a guy named James Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
And so she gave me, like, I have a stack of books behind you on the back of that thing.
Yeah.
And they are, she's the one who got me into Jack Reacher.
Okay.
And so I'll read, and who is it? J.D. Robb?
Yep.
J.P. Robb? Something. There's
I
one
see
of those.
It. Over so James Patterson, I don't know if this is true, so I'm going to say it. I read that he, or maybe I heard on a podcast, that he basically has like a team of ghostwriters, and they're all women.
Yeah.
Which I think is so interesting, because if any of those women were like, here's my book, here's my proposal, they'd be like,
nope. Yeah, that's one of the things that irritated me about it was the one that I tried to read of his. It was co-written. It said James Patterson and whatever. Yeah. Some woman.
Well, that's good. At least she got her name in print.
And he always does that. It was like, because he just wrote a mystery novel with Bill Clinton.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
And but I was reading it and I was like, oh, I think he's, you know what it feels like? And this is completely unjustified, so let me say it. James Patterson, I feel like you're the Bill Maher of novels.
Yeah.
Where you always have a woman open for you. Because you want to say gross shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And
follow her and show her up.
Yeah.
And hope to.
Well, you're going to get the chunk of the bigger money.
Yeah, you're going to get like that good meat.
The bulk of the money.
Yep.
You're going to get the good spot. And because there was a woman on the show. You'll look good and be able to say anything.
Yep.
Because you're like, look, I'm working with, this woman's willing to work with me.
Yeah, she's doing it.
Louis C.K. has a new girlfriend. Somebody's willing to date her.
Wait, is that true?
It is true, I guess. It can't possibly matter.
Sure.
Anyway, it's fine. He's not invited to Christmas.
Yeah. So like those types, and even like, so Clive Cussler, do you know, or Cussler, do you know?
Yeah.
They're like treasury, adventure-y type of books.
Okay.
I voraciously read those at one point. But like something that eventually I went through, I did the life-changing magic of tidying up, and I ignored everything in that book. And then when I read, there's a part where she's like, throw out your books. She doesn't want you to have books. If you need them because you're a teacher, have them stored away. I'm like, this is, you're nuts. I threw
it
out.
You're nuts.
Yes. So but then I was like, you know what? I should clean out my bookshelf.
Yep.
And what I ended up realizing that I did was I threw out pretty much every male canon author. Because I realized I was reading like those Clive Cussler's, and I had all of these books that were like, these are books that men who I was dating were like, that you got to read that book. Or like books that like would impress men. Or
Well, I have like the books that are in this room are mine and Andy's.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's all comic books and trade comics and stuff. But this is classics, what's left of what I think might impress somebody I read in college.
Yeah.
And
you have to have like your trophy books.
Yeah, right.
That's what I was going to show. I have to show you my bookshelf picture.
Oh, you brought some bookshelf pictures? Yeah. Good for you. Good for you.
I don't know how much time we have.
Well, it's visible.
We
get about 10 minutes.
There's always time for a bookshelf picture.
Right, right.
But so it was so tough to me to say like, will I ever want this book again? And I try not to be very precious about it.
No,
because
I got rid of a bunch of books.
It's a hard thing to do.
And I took them to what was really offensive is that I took them to the Iliad to sell them back and they didn't want them. And I was like, well,
snaps.
Somebody would.
Yeah.
And then Andy has been trying to cull his comic book collection. It's our comic book collection, except for that I'm not allowed to touch it. So it's got to be his comic book collection. And there's 6,000 comics in this house. And
that's impressive.
It's a lot of Tinder.
Yeah.
And but he went through and he's got like 500 comic books in a long box that he's willing to sell. And he's like, these are all full series. They're worth something. And he doesn't talk like this.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Listen up. This is really sweet.
This is really important.
Awesome.
And so we took it to our comic book store. And the comic book guy was like, I'll give you $30 for the entire box. And he's like, I just want $100 in comic book credit. And Carl couldn't do it.
And
he
couldn't do that.
Look, because he's got a gajillion comic books. So.
I know. It just seems unfortunate because it's like, you know, somebody out there wants that.
Yeah.
And
so I've been thinking, Jason Van Glass, he went through it and he was like, yeah, it's worth about $30. I'm sorry. And he does. He noodles around the internet. He's a comic.
Mm-hmm.
He noodles around the internet looking for that's what he does for money. Like he buys and sells stuff on eBay.
Okay.
And so he actually knew that they were only worth.
And exactly. So, he's got like the time and the energy. He's getting paid literally to do that. But it is. It's a whole. And then you're like, so one of my favorite things, I don't know, I think most branches do this, but the Mar Vista Library that is my library, where I watched the InSight land this morning.
What is that?
Very exciting. So the InSight mission left from JPL, from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in May. My name was on it. You can put your name on it.
Jen O'Donnell. Yes. Did you get Jen O'Donnell without a number? After
the only just Jen O'Donnell.
Congratulations,
it's the only one I know.
You got in the good early.
I could
ground.
Probably come back and do a amateur space dorkdom.
Sure.
I have my pen right here for the insight. But so I went to the library one because I needed to get these books for this podcast,
right?
And because they were doing the insight live, so you got to see like the live landing from JPL.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
They had a woman who used to work for NASA just like there, and everybody who showed up
was a woman. Thaler?
No,
because she's done the dork for us.
I grabbed her card. Roseanne was her first name.
Roseanne was her first name. As some of Andy's friends are genuine rocket scientists.
Yeah, I mean,
and they work at JPL.
Does it blow your mind to talk to these people?
Yeah,
because I turn into such a freak. Like I turn into such a freak, and I like want to know everything. And I'm like. I hate when I sit down, like when I go to Buffalo, my family's like, tell us about comedy. How does it? I'm like, I dread it. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't. And I'm like, do they hate me? Because I'm like, let's talk about your 9 to 5.
Yeah.
This whole dinner Saturday.
Maybe. But it's, I know that we game a lot. We play board games and stuff with these smarty magoos, right?
So when you win and win against a rocket scientist, it probably is really
bam. No, it's sometimes I say things, and one of my favorite things I ever said was to Andy's good friend from college, Judy Adler, teaches physics.
Okay.
AP physics at some high school here in the Los Angeles area. And so she's super smart, and we're all just sitting around, and I said, have we learned how to control gravity, right? And she just looked up from, she was making her decision on her board game. She goes, what? No, what? What are you reading?
It's... See, I think they need us, honestly.
Right?
I think they do, because we're, you know, things can come from those questions.
Right.
And those ideas.
Why can't we control gravity? Why don't you get on that?
Yeah, my dream job is to drive a bookmobile in a newly colonized planet. Like, this is...
Do you get to pick the books?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you remember I said I love books about books?
Yeah.
Because people who read books about books, like Little Paris Bookshop... I just read a book called People of the Book.
Are these
I love
fiction?
Books about
I love
People
Minute
of the Book is actually
by the way.
Really interesting.
That's important to find out
good
the
to know.
New dork.
Okay, good to know.
No, but this is hilarious.
So People of the Book is actually historical fiction, and it's really interesting. It's about a Jewish Bible being saved in the
where?
90s war, me out.
Oh, Bosnia?
Bosnian War.
Yeah.
And it's about, so it's based on this real story about this Bible being saved. But it's basically like a smart Da Vinci Code that is a woman hero.
Yeah, yeah.
It's real. I just finished it. Well, it was one of my recent ones.
Yeah.
So I love books about books, and I love the idea of like, Little Paris Bookshop is one of them. Like,
what's that?
Prescribing books. So I love Paris because I'm basic. I am a little bit basic.
Oh, I've been trying to go to Paris for 1,000 years, and I've never been. I want to go.
It's like
it's Paris.
I haven't been. I mean, I've been twice, but I haven't been anywhere else twice. If that. And it's like a bookshop on a river.
Okay.
And the guy, basically the idea is he's a pharmacist, but for books. And like, he will recommend a book to you to cure what ails, you know? And I love reading books about books. Mm-hmm. And so things like that, where there's like a certain reverence for books within a book. Mm-hmm. It just makes you feel understood, I think.
Right, right. It's nice.
Yeah.
All books. I mean, if you find the right book, you feel understood for almost the first time in your life.
You do.
And it's weird. It's why people love authors so much
right.
and probably anthropomorphize them. Not that they aren't
they
people.
They do. I mean, have you seen Misery? It's I also love libraries to be around books. Like, have you been to the Central Library downtown lately or at all?
No.
It's like, it's a place I would recommend, especially like I'm freelance right now. Yeah. And like, I'm like, maybe I'll go to an open mic tonight and maybe I'll try to do something today besides apply for a job or like do something that I don't want to do. And like, you go to a library and there's something about it that just like is so inspiring because you're like, I'm around all of like humankind's greatest achievements.
Or crappiest.
Yeah. And, like, and that's the best. It's
that's
everything.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
Is that it's every, you're like, I don't want to know what your favorite NASCAR cars are,
yeah.
but there is
but
a
it's
person.
There if you want to find it.
Yeah. There's somebody I remember. When I was little, I was like, I'm going to read all the books at the library.
Oh my God. I said that once.
Yeah.
But I said, I want to read all the books in the world.
In the world.
And then when I went to the Temple Library in mm-hmm. Dublin, I said this to one of my friends, Kelly O'Brien, also from Buffalo. I go, you know, when I was younger, I thought I could read all the books in the world. And she whispers to me and she goes, but now you realize you can't. But no, then she goes, because they're all in different languages. And I was like, yep, that's why.
That is also part of
that's
the problem.
That's why I can't do it.
I couldn't even read all the books in the library in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin, yeah. because a lot of them were about cars and I didn't care.
Yeah. Have you been to that library lately?
Yeah. Well, no, actually not in probably 10 years.
You should go back.
Yeah.
I went back. So I grew up on an island in between Niagara Falls and Buffalo.
What?
Grand Island, New York.
Okay. I took
one school. My mom's a lunch lady. One hotel, my sister runs it. My brother drives the snow plow. You know, like it's a small town.
Yeah, it is.
One library. And I went just to like look because I was like, these are the books that it's like the same librarian. Mm-hmm. Apparently, what I had looked at or what I read into is that you can donate books to your library.
Yeah.
So I went to check out their feminist section to see what they had. Didn't have a section.
No section. Well,
it's just, I think, I don't know, maybe people go to your hometown, look at that library and see if there's something to...
Like if there's a gaping hole that yeah. you might want to fill.
Yeah.
And with anything.
Race car feminism.
Race car feminism.
Write that. I'm going to write
could
that
be.
Book.
There's a race car ladies. There's
yeah,
women
there are.
Racing cars.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name.
Danica Patrick.
There you go. She has a name. So... Jen O'Donnell. Let's just remind people real quickly
yeah,
here.
Okay.
It's Jen Odd.
Jen Odd on Twitter. JenOdd.
And then Jen
Odd one on Instagram.
The number.
JenO'DonnellComedy.com.
Right.
I have a podcast called Take Down the Patriarchy with Solange and Jen.
Mm-hmm.
I have a monthly all-female stand-up comedy show called The Ladies' Room.
Here in Los Angeles
here
at
in
three
Los
clubs.
Angeles, three clubs. And I have a web series called The Internet According to Jen.
That is going to be available at your
yeah, it's on you. Website. You'll find it on my website. I put it on YouTube. Disable
yeah.
the comments so that 14-year-old boys don't tell me to die.
Right, right. Who needs here?
Who
to,
needs
you,
it?
You know what though? You could recommend a book for them. You could be a pharmacist.
I could. Here's a book. It's called book How to Kill Yourself for 13-year-old boys. That's awful. I don't mean to. I mean,
no, no. Everyone knows that you do not seriously wish.
I do not.
Death
but
upon
I could. Give
how about
them,
a bar of soap? How about that?
Here's some soap and a book about how to talk
wash
about emotions.
Your own mouth out and then read this. And
all right, I think we got through all my notes. I had some history about the public library. You know, we probably won't get to it.
I'm going to show you some books when we hang up.
Yeah.
But when we hang up, you're right in front of me. But Under the Mistletoe, Mary Ballow, I will say this, is that always a crier. And then at the end of it, they both figure out. I mean, and the way she writes is so deliberate
yeah.
that when she writes sadness, you're like, okay, that's the tiniest fucking misunderstanding in the world that's been blown up into something enormous.
Yeah.
And then the resolution of it is cathartic.
You still.
To this day, yeah. it's cathartic. And I read each and every one of those, and I thoroughly enjoyed them.
Yeah.
And
she's speaking that truth to us.
She's speaking the truth to us, and she's usually a good sport about
yeah.
it. She
yeah,
wants...
Yeah.
You know, most of the romance novels I read are just about how, hey, why don't you not be a dick? And it's like, I don't like there's romance novels where you're like, oh, I fell in love with this dick and then he's going to change because
yeah.
of it.
Yep.
And then
always
when they do, you're like, oh, I did not enjoy that book because that guy is not changing.
Yeah.
Because he is a human.
Yeah.
And then when they don't change, I don't like it.
Right.
Because,
then you're like, I don't want her to end up with him. Why did
no,
I
had hopes for you.
Yeah.
And yep. then is there a sequel?
Yep.
Where she gets
What's
to meet
next?
Some perfectly nice man who's just living his life
yeah.
and doesn't want to hurt your feelings. That's one of his whole things is he doesn't want to hurt people's feelings.
Wow.
And I've just described Brian Regan.
but isn't that such a like that is women's fantasy?
Yeah. Like, to some extent.
Yeah, yeah. In a way. I mean, just like in a, like a man and who a has lot of, emotional intelligence is what we're writing romance novels about.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Which is why a lot of guys read romance novels too, because they're like,
oh, I didn't know that. You know what?
Yeah. There are actually a lot of men who read romance novels. And because I've been looking into this more and more.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping writing this romance novel doesn't ruin romance novels for me, because I would be genuinely, because I
get
tend
it.
To read them in spurts.
Yeah.
And then I read other kinds of
books. And it's
your
escape. But and now it's like a job or like
right.
a task.
It's a task, yeah. a job. And I've been reading so many romance novels since Captain Knobjob got put into office that I'm like, it's lasted longer than it's ever lasted before.
Oh,
like
the streak has.
The streak has.
To get, because you're like, this is what I used to get through. Still not through it.
Still not through it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm kind of exhausted.
Yeah.
All this love.
Yep.
And
may I recommend
some people
some
dealing
sickness.
With death and illness. All right, Jen O'Donnell, we're at an hour. Thank you so much.
This
for,
has been fun. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?